Welcome to Top Score from Classical Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Emily Rees. In the first 24 hours of its release in November 2010, Call of Duty Black Ops sold more than 7 million copies in the U.S. and the U.K. 6 weeks later, the game had earned $1 billion in sales. Composer Sean Murray faced the daunting task of writing music for one of the most successful video game franchises in history, but he had done it before. Sean also wrote the music for Call of Duty World at War, which came out in 2008. Black Ops is a first-person shooter set in the Cold War in the 1960s. As a player, you travel the world, fighting in Cuba, the Soviet Union, Laos, and Vietnam. Well, I have to admit right off the bat that Black Ops has sucked about, I'm not even going to tell you how many days of my life.
Oh my God.
Out of it. I've always been a big Call of Duty fan. And so for me, being a big gaming fan in general and a musician and longtime lover of music, this is quite a dream for me to be able to speak with you and folks like you about the work you do with games and music.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. So it's very exciting to speak with you about that and your other endeavors as well. But Call of Duty, of course, I would imagine being one of the biggest projects you've worked on.
I would have to say so. I mean, there's nothing that I've done that's ever reached anywhere near the success of Black Ops. I mean, we're in the realm of Avatar as far as how much money it brought in.
$3 billion, I think, so far. A Call of Duty in general.
Yeah, it is the most successful entertainment product, I think, in history at
yes.
this point. It may be even over $7 billion.
Oh, my gosh.
$7 billion served, just like McDonald's.
And maybe more healthy? That's hard to say.
But I don't know.
I do know that Black Ops sold 7 million copies in the first 24 hours.
And yes, it did.
That's huge.
Yeah, I went, I was downtown in Hollywood the night that the game was released, and there was a line around the block of fans waiting to pick up their copy at midnight, and it was kind of thrilling to walk by and to say hello to the first three guys in line, and I whispered to them, "Hey, I wrote the music. I did Call of Duty World at War as well." And they're like, "Dude!" It was only my fourth video game, Black Ops. The first one I did was True Crime Streets of L.A., and that was with Activision. Second one was the follow-up, True Crime New York City. And on both of those games, I worked with this terrific guy in the audio department named Brian Tuohy. And he was a sound designer on True Crime L.A., and by the time True Crime New York came around two years later, he had become the audio director for Luxaflex. So when I worked on that game with him, we developed a really great working relationship, and we had the same appreciation for stylistically for different types of music that we were going to use in the game. So he really enjoyed the experience. I loved the experience of working with him and the other guys in the sound department, Chris Cowell as well. Well, they both went on to Treyarch after True Crime New York, and Brian Tuohy became the audio director at Treyarch. So
okay.
When it came time for World at War, they had done the Call of Duty 3 project with a terrific composer named Joel Goldsmith, the son of the legendary Jerry Goldsmith.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to take a different approach and get a different sound for World at War. They just really wanted to make a change from the previous game sonically.
Rough soil,
do want to talk a little bit about your background because, you know, you've got mostly a background in TV and film, is that correct?
Yes. My first film I composed when I was 19 years old.
Wow.
And that's how I actually broke into the film business. But I started off doing student films for a film school in Santa Barbara when I was 16. And I had done dozens by the time I was 19, so I had a pretty good understanding of how to write for film.
Mm-hmm.
And the first movie I did was called Scorpion, and it starred my father. And he had a role in getting me the gig.
Oh, cool.
He had introduced me to the producer and director that wanted to hear nothing about Don Murray's son composer. And yeah, he's like, yeah, right.
Wow.
We're gonna get somebody good.
Mm.
But my father was persistent, and he gave him a couple of the student films that I'd done and gave him a few of my cassettes of my work. And he really liked it, so he called me in. And we hit it off, and from there, I've been working ever since as a professional composer.
What for you was the biggest challenge in making that jump from writing to TV and film to writing for a video game?
Well, you know what? First of all, the thing that attracted me to the video game genre, I mean format for writing, was that you had more time. Video games, you have months to work on. Motion pictures, you have weeks, and television shows, you have days.
Wow.
So I was really excited about the fact that I could work on this project for 5 months and really get into it. And you're writing more music than you would for a feature film. But that aspect, and also the people. They all had, most of them have very technical backgrounds and are extremely smart and intelligent,
mm-hmm.
but they don't think they're geniuses, like a lot of people do in the film business. I studied classical piano and classical guitar. Guitar,
oh, wow.
I studied with a protege of Segovia, a guy named Ray Reznor in Santa Barbara.
Wow.
And he was a contemporary of Christopher Parkening. And he was just an amazing teacher. And I learned years later that I was his only student, which was kind of an honor for me. So classical guitar, I studied piano from the age of 5. Guitar from 7. Then after high school, I went to Santa Barbara City College and studied music there. But I never went to film school or, you know, one of the big fancy schmancy schools. But the thing that really taught me how to write for film was getting involved with the Brooks Institute in Santa Barbara. And that was a film school. And everybody there they were making short films, and they did several films throughout their tenure at the school. I was lucky enough to get involved with them, and I sort of became the go-to guy in Santa Barbara at that period. So I did dozens of short films, and that's really how I learned how to write.
Black Ops. I'm obviously female, and I enjoy playing first-person shooters. And one of the things that always makes me chuckle, maybe because I'm older and wiser, but is the amount of testosterone that's plugged into these games. And what I love about your score for Black Ops is there is a really good balance of
you know, the orchestra combined with you know, this guitar that's fast and furious, and then there's these really beautiful moments of just orchestral writing, like the tracks Deviant or Foe. I didn't mean to say that like a Minnesotan foe. Foe and the Wall. You know what I'm saying? These calmer, quieter, more tender moments in the score that really almost breathe more life into it. And do you see what I'm saying?
Always looking for an emotional connection to the characters. So also the breadth of this score, the scope of it, was influenced by the fact that you're traveling all over the world in this game. I mean, you're in Kowloon in Hong Kong, you're in Siberia, you're in Russia, you're in Southeast Asia, you're in Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam. So I really felt like the score needed to travel, not necessarily mimicking the locales that much, but it just, I wanted to give you an entire world of music. But the thing that really influenced the score the most was I threw myself into the music of the 20th century composers that were very experimental during the Cold War period.
No
kidding.
From
the 50s all the way through the 80s.
Such as?
Oh, I love the music of Gheorghe Ligeti and Gheorghe Kurtag. Both of those guys I listened to quite a bit in my preparation for doing the score. Two of my favorite overall composers are minimalists, John Taverner, Arvo Pärt. Absolutely. That had an influence as well on the score in cuts like The Wall. And another one that influenced me quite a bit is a Finnish composer named Radivara.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he is my ultimate favorite composer to listen to.
No way. You're the first person I've ever heard say Radivara's name in terms of, you know, I love this composer. That's just really phenomenal. You're listening to Top Score from Classical Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Emily Reese. My guest this week is composer Sean Murray, who wrote the music for Call of Duty World at War and Call of Duty Black Ops. Do you play the games much? I mean, as you're writing them or perhaps post-production when they're all done? And
World at War, I had also on True Crime New York, I had a dev kit, a development kit. So basically, I can see how the game is developing and see how they're implementing the music and play the game and really get a feel for it and get inside it. And I really utilize that heavily on World at War. When it came to Black Ops, I wanted to take a different approach, like I was writing for a feature film. So I didn't actually want to play the game. I wanted to look at a video of the playthroughs of each game level and score to it like I would a film.
One of the things I think that sets Black Ops apart, it definitely feels like a cinematic production, which I think a lot of first-person shooters can honestly lack at times.
Absolutely. And I think maybe my approach in not playing through the game on this one maybe lent itself to that in a way. But no, I was just absolutely floored by the imagery when I started getting in the video of the playthrough. And as soon as we got the voices of Gary Oldman in there,
even now his music still haunts me,
and Ed Harris and Sam Worthington, oh my God, there's no greater impetus to write great music or write your, you know, write at your best when you have incredibly fine actors like that. They just make you feel like you're doing something so important. So given the, you know, the incredible graphics and the incredible acting work, I was very inspired to do my best work.
much direction did the studio give you on what they wanted?
Very little, actually. Early on, when I first started writing, I think the very first cue that I wrote was Pegasus. And it was a little bit bigger and a little bit more orchestral and bombastic. And we ended up, obviously, we used that in the game. But from there, that was sort of the jumping off point. Okay, where do we want to take the music from here? And then I would get input from the guys at Treyarch of, well, we want to just hone it in this direction. We like these sections here. Let's do more of that. The second piece of music I wrote, I went very experimental. And it was a piece called Flashpoint, which was the impetus for the cue, The Wall. That's where the longer piece, the Wall, came from. So that was in a completely different direction from my very first cut that I wrote. And it had beautiful lyrical cello as well as a haunting pedal point with ever-shifting timbres. And I used waterphone and detuned piano quite a bit, utilizing some of those Cold War, John Cage sort of elements. So I went from one extreme to the other, and that's how we started feeling out what direction we would continue to go. So every time I'd write something new, I would judge the response by the studio, and then all the guys play it for each other and they put it in the game. So you get your direction that way by the amount of enthusiasm for every piece of music that you come up with.
Yes.
And, as in film, most films are heavily temp scored, which I really don't like to listen to when I'm writing for a film.
What, can you explain that for someone like me who doesn't know what that means, a temp score?
A temp score, when during the editing process on a motion picture, the director or the editor will put in music from other movies that they like. You often get scores. I remember there was a period where every score I was working on had several songs by Moby in it, temped in. They'll always put in the biggest composers, and then if they get married to it, they'll say, do something like this. Mm. And then they, are always not so enthusiastic if you don't sound like the temp score. So I don't like listening to a temp score, and I think a lot of more mature directors tend to not really put any emphasis on it.
For the past couple of months, I've been trying to talk to composers and just like you, who write for video games, and it really seems like each person I ask, how much direction did you get, it's usually not a lot, which seems so freeing.
It is. It's tremendously liberating. Obviously, people have a concept or an idea, a vibe. I knew that, for example, in Black Ops, that we really wanted to capture the paranoia of the Cold War period. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to capture the sense of brinkmanship, and that any time we could be in nuclear holocaust. So that was the direction that I was given, and that was my goal of trying to emphasize that reality and that psychological state of the game.
What do you love about the end product, for you personally?
Well, I was just so happy that I was able to experiment and do so many different things musically. and that I had the freedom to really write whatever came into my mind and had very little restriction. So that was very satisfying. And to hear these, you know, pieces like The Wall and Foe and Deviant mixed into the game and to see how it was executed and to hear from people that, you know, they were really impressed by the score and felt, you know, so motivated while playing because everything felt so tense to them. I love that when people say, oh my God, I was playing through this level and cringing. You know, when you get that kind of excitement back mm-hmm. and they say the music just had me on the edge of my seat, that's mm-hmm. what you want to hear. So that's always exciting to me.
I've really enjoyed listening to it without gunfire in the background.
Yes. And it's interesting that you say that. Actually, when I'm writing, I'll put on a loop of gunfire and different guns that you could be using in the level of the game. Maybe I'll get it with the automatic weapon. Maybe I'll get it as with the player using a shotgun. So I'll just have a couple of different gun palettes to work with. And believe it or not, I have that playing continuously in a loop as I'm composing because I want to make sure that my sonorities of the music are cutting through the sonorities of the gunplay. Yeah, so it's actually really fun to listen to music without guns after a while. And one of the great things about finishing the project, and the game was released in November. I was still working on it in September, finishing up added scenes and also cut scenes and loading movies. I really enjoyed the loading movies aspect of it. They were so graphically interesting.
Yes, yes.
So as soon as I was done, I had about a week, and then I had to get on the ball and start getting the soundtrack album together. And I was very surprised at the amount of freedom that I had in choosing the cuts for the soundtrack album. I just pulled all of my favorite cuts and ended up with 30. And I was very surprised when they said, okay, we'll put out 30 cuts. I'm like, what? That's almost 2 hours of music.
And that speaks to also just the sheer amount you have to write for a video game, where if you do a two-hour film, I mean, you're not going to be obviously writing 3 hours of music. You won't even be writing 2 hours of music.
Yeah, there's usually between 75 and 85 minutes of music for a feature. And it's very interesting. I've had so many films. It just may be the way my mind works. I have 42 cuts. Four or five films, I've had exactly 42 cuts of music.
And for Black Ops, how many did you have?
Oh, God. I don't know.
More than 42.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine. But with Black Ops, the cuts are a lot longer as well because you've got long levels, long periods of gameplay. So the average piece I think I wrote was around 3 minutes. Had an 80-piece orchestra at the Eastwood scoring stage at Warner Brothers Studio. That was an absolute dream come true.
Did you conduct it all too?
I did not conduct. I leave that to the professionals. I truly think that conducting is an art form in its own, and I've never learned to do it. I had an amazing conductor for Black Ops, a guy named Tim Simonek. This was his third Call of Duty that he'd been conducting. He had orchestrated and conducted the first Call of Duty with Michael. The second Call of Duty he orchestrated and conducted with Graham Revell. And so this was his third with me. So it was neat to have his history involved with that. I work with one of the best orchestrators in the industry, a woman named Emily Bernstein. Emily Bernstein is the daughter of the great Elmer Bernstein. And she had started orchestrating his films when she was very young. I think she was 21 or so. And her first film that she ever orchestrated was Cape Fear, Scorsese's remake of Cape Fear. And then she orchestrated every one of his films to the very last one, which was Far From Heaven. So when it came time for Call of Duty World at War, I knew we were going to have the opportunity to use a large orchestra, and I was able to get Emily involved.
Well, Sean, thank you so, so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much, Emily.
You've been listening to Top Score from Classical Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Emily Reese. Our technical director is Sam Keenan, and we had additional support from John Miller. On the next episode of Top Score, we talk to one of the men responsible for the award-winning score to Red Dead Redemption. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Tumblr at Top Score Podcast. So you know how at the end how we do funny stuff sometimes?
What?
I just thought this time around I should say hello to my Call of Duty buddies, because I've been playing with some of them for like 4 years, and they're good guys. They're my guys.
You say hello on the podcast?
Well, I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Do you think I would get hit by a nerd lightning bolt?
This probably.
Okay, well, I'll just say hi really quick. Okay, there's my AOD buddies. Those guys would be Arsenal Fan and Scarface and Rage Assassin and Sweeper and Tone and Asian Princess and...
Wait, who?
Princess?
Asian Princess?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a white guy from Wyoming, I'm assuming.
Then there's West QB Kid and Spartan, who is from Wyoming, and Bree and Haven and D-Mac. Yay, yay. Then there's my Rage Clan boys. And those boys would be as follows. I'm sure they would prefer I call them men. So...
Wookiee 01.
Stop it, comic book boy. Those guys would be like Affliction and Shady and Lizard Man.
Peter Parker.
Basil, Shark Bucket Dealer, Tim, Blake, Gator.
Jeff.
Killer Bina.
Anyone else?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, we'll try to work that in.